Is it acting weird? Okay. Sounds like it's really loud, but maybe it's because there's nobody here and there's an echo. I don't know. Okay, let's just, Matthew chapter 6. We're just going to study verses 1 through 18, and let's just read it first before we get into it. You may have already read it at home in preparation for this, but let's just read it together. Actually, I normally teach out of the ESV, but today I'm going to read out of the NKJV. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men. This is Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 18. Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Okay. Unfortunately, I picked a subject that has been a problem for me all my life. And maybe that's good, because I feel like over the course of my life, I worked on this a lot. And especially when I was younger, the praise of others really was important to me. And not like a typical everybody is, I don't think. I think like I thrived on approval of others. Everything I did was for the approval of others. That led me into sin. Even in the church, I liked to hear people tell me I was a good song leader, or that I taught a good Bible class, or I led a good prayer, or that. And everybody likes to hear that. But when I was trying to perfect these things, it was because I wanted to hear how good I did at it. It wasn't so much that I was concerned with presenting the word accurately, only in that people would praise me for that. And that's something I really struggled with when I was younger, and I took every opportunity to point out, you know, I knew something about the Bible, and I wanted to be the first one to answer questions, and I wanted to be the person in the room who knew the most, and I could turn to the book of the Bible faster than everybody else. I mean, this is really a part of my personality when I was younger, and it got to be where I hated that about myself, and I wanted to change that about myself. And Deanna helps me and a lot in keeping me humble. And I've gotten to the point now where I think that's not an issue. I enjoy people telling me, hey, I like your class, you're a good Bible teacher, I appreciate your song leading, but that's not really why I do it anymore, and I like to hear that, but usually it embarrasses me now, and I don't even like to hear it. So after I teach Bible class, I like to just run out and hide in my car, because two things, it's embarrassing, and secondly, I don't want to feed that I know is a temptation for me to hear people give me praises. And so when people would say, hey, I like your Bible class, I'll just like, thanks. And I try to move on and try to just pretend like they didn't say it. And so this is going to be a hard class to teach because I'm going to feel like a hypocrite, but maybe I can help if anybody else has that problem and things. And it's definitely going to help me to remind myself of why I serve. I don't serve for the praises of men, but for God's glory. When I teach a class, I pray, Father, please don't let them think that notice that I'm a good or a bad teacher. What I really want is them to benefit from this study. When I lead singing, please don't let me get in the way of their worship. Let them worship you in the best way, and let me lead them in worship. That's my prayer, and I tell myself that every time. It's not about you, it's about God, and I want them to honor you instead of me, and that helps me stay humble. Plus, you think, well, I got to be perfect every time, and you find out you're not perfect every time, and you're like, that's not important. It's not about being perfect. So, anyways, that's enough about me. That's my moment of confession, I guess. So, in this chapter. There's three topics under consideration. Now, I have an activity. You're welcome to do this. You're welcome to not do this, but I'm going to do it full of Reagan here. So, do you mind passing this out to the middle row, and you pass this out to the side, and make sure that Steve... And this is a printout of Matthew chapter 6, and I got pencils, and I got colored pencils. If you prefer colored pencils or if you just want to use your own pencil. But here's what we're going to do. And this is New King James. And I put a little dotted line to kind of separate the topics just so you can find the different topics. And what I want you to look for is things that are common between the three. Okay? He's really talking about one thing, but he's using three examples to illustrate one thing. So find a word or a phrase that's common in all three of those and highlight them or circle them or underline them. You might want a different color for each one because there's a lot of them. So if you need a pencil or a pen or some colored pencils, oh, yeah, take the rubber band. Yeah, take the box. That's what I meant to do. I should have took the rubber band off. Who else? You help me out here. Anybody else need a pencil or a color? And you don't have to write it down if you want to. In fact, or you can do it in your own Bible if you're interested in that. Because we're going to take these things and that's going to use this as a jumping off point for our discussion. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to work on that. Yes, so in the first section, it's talking about charitable deeds. The second section is talking about prayer. And the third section is talking about fasting. Find words or phrases that are common between all three of those. Yeah, that's just to help you find each topic. Could be. When I highlighted it, I treated them as two different things, but you do you, you know. I found 6, but you might find more than that, or you might find less than that. I'm not going to wait on you, but we're going through the 3 topics here, the charitable deeds, prayer, and fasting, and we're notating words or phrases that are common between each of those discussions. One of the reasons for doing this is you can see, and you probably knew this without doing the highlighting exercise, is that there's basically the same thing said 3 times. The only thing that is swapped out is the activity, right? Except for the long section on prayer, there's additional information there. But part of it is just to highlight the idea that we're really talking about one thing here in 3 different situations. And we're going to use these as jumping off points to talk about different aspects of this. So let's go ahead and call out one that's common between the 3. Hypocrites. All right. What is a hypocrite?
Play actor.
Someone who appears to be something they're not, right? What causes someone to want to be a hypocrite in this context?
Pride.
I think that's right. Elaborate on that.
They want to be seen by men. They want the glory themselves. They want to live the way they want to live, but if everybody else seems to be, look at me, I'm righteous, like the Pharisees.
Might also there be an aspect of not only am I good, but I'm even better than other people, right? Yeah, I want people to notice how righteous I am. That's how the Pharisees would have been. I think that's right. Pride is probably the root of that. Someone who's play acting. It's easy. The play actor. The people here who are doing these activities, so their charitable deeds, their praying, their fasting, nothing wrong with that. Those are good activities, right? But they are play acting. And so that tells you something about what they're really doing, right? All right, we may dig into that more as we go through. What's something else?
If I may.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I just rewatched The Hunchback of Notre Dame recently with Gloria, and we get to the point where Frollo gets his
villain song, and he opens it up with Deata Maria. You know, I am a righteous man. Of my virtue, I am justly proud. I am so much better than the weak, poor, licentious crowd. Mm. And so that hypocrisy, we're talking about this self-righteousness, that I obviously am better than everyone else below me, that is not visibly doing all these things in front of everyone else, but then is desperately fighting a battle that he really shouldn't even be fighting with, if he has even an iota of the faith that he claims to have, or at least it shouldn't be something that is wrecking every facet of his faith at that point. So,
Yeah. This idea of self-righteousness, definitely something that the Pharisees engaged in. Isaiah said way back, 700 years before this, about the people of Hezekiah's time, that they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And this still applied to the Pharisees and the scribes of this time, these hypocrites that he's talking about. They talk a good game, but they're not living it. I hate to say there's been times in my life where I've been there. Wasn't exactly living right, but everybody at church thought I was. I think back into high school days, boy, everybody at school thought I was the worldliest person, and everybody at church thought I was the godliest person, living that double life. That's not the only time, but I think living a hypocrite, I've been there.
He points out particularly that they're hypocrites in as much as they want to be seen by men, and that goes back to the pride and all, but particularly, right. Their problem is they want to be seen by men.
Exactly. So that's a common phrase. So verse 1, to be seen by them. Verse 5, that they may be seen by men. Verse 16, they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. And so that's a common thing about these hypocrites. Who are they wanting to see these good works? They want men to notice, right? They want everybody else to notice. The work seems like their focus is in the wrong place, right? They're focusing on what men think about them rather than what God thinks about them. Go ahead.
In verse 2, where it said, do not sound a trumpet before you as a hypocrite, I have a note here in my Bible reminding me about football players. They go down there, they catch a pass, you think it was the first one they ever caught, or they made a tackle or something like that, but basically they're wanting to be seen by men.
Yeah, that entertainment factor, but they want people to see, and it's got to come up with new and creative ways to celebrate than somebody else did too, right? As far as I know, I'd search to see if there's any records of people actually blowing a trumpet when they did this. And according to Perplexity AI, there's no recorded history of this. Somebody may know something about this, but he's not trying to be literal, maybe being hyperbolic here, but this is definitely something that these people would be want people to notice them and do it in a noticeable way. He doesn't mention trumpets when praying, but back when I was teaching the class on customs, manners and customs, we studied the Pharisees, and there's some writing in the Mishnah that from Barakat 28 that talks about these rabbis' opinions on how far you should bow down when you pray. And so, one of them says you should bend down so low that every vertebrae in your back would stand out separate, or the skin over your heart would fall into folds. And this other guy said, well, you need to bend over so far that you can see a small coin on the ground. And then somebody else said, well, as long as you can just bend your head down, but as long as you're making a big effort to do that, it was all about the performance of it. And Edersheim, this Jewish guy who converted to Christianity, he was writing about this, and he would talk about, he'd be walking in the middle of the street, and they'd just stop. It's time to pray, and he'd make a big ordeal about this, or, he would be very conspicuous about his devotions, and everybody noticed how much I'm putting in. You think about the widow's mite, and Jesus is watching these people come in, and, giving all these big, how did they know how much they were giving? Well, it must have been obvious in the way they were giving how much they were giving. And she just grabbed her little two mites, and he says she gave more than all those people did because she did it from here. So this is definitely something they would do. Somebody carrying something would drop his load dramatically because it's time to pray, and he'd drop and pray. It was all about I'll be more righteous than the person beside me.
Eric.
Yeah, go ahead, Reagan.
There you go.
I'll pass it over. When I was in Israel, in Jerusalem, you know, you think that this is something that, in my mind, I thought this was something kind of contained to the first century, and, you know, after the destruction of Jerusalem, you don't see this anymore, but you would see Orthodox Jews at these sites, right? So, like, at the upper room, and they would gather around, like, the tourist entrance to these sites and, like, sit down in the way and start praying, like, private prayers, and, like yelling and screaming and beating the ground and beating themselves, and it was, like, I was shocked because, like, Jesus taught about this. I know y'all maybe don't know that, but Jesus taught about this. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And so that kind of, I didn't hear anybody blowing trumpets, but that kind of extreme performance is something that's still going on even today. And of course, you know, as kingdom citizens, we can't look down our nose at the Jews and say they're the only ones guilty of that. But that's still happening even today, or at least 10 years ago when I was there.
One thing, other than the hypocrite that just jumps out at you, you would think he wouldn't have to really further explain, but he does. He tells you what to do and then what not to do so that you're not hypocritical in each case, whether you're doing a charitable deed or praying or fasting. The other thing that I just happen to notice is it doesn't say if you do it charitably.
Yep.
It's when.
Yeah.
When you pray, when you fast.
Yes.
Like it's not an option.
Yeah.
So when you do this, do it right.
Yep. That's one of the ones I highlighted too, is when you. So it's presumed that these things are going to happen. It's not like you said, it's not if you do this, it's when you do this. And, you know, we might can make too much of that, but I do think there's something there that Jesus is, he's just assuming that you're going to be engaged in these activities. Now, when you do this, this is how you need to do it, and this is how you not need to do it or need to not do it. So, yeah, that's something definitely that's common among these. So charitable deeds or almsgiving may be what it's talking about. Prayer and fasting. We'll dig into each of those separately later, maybe, unless you want to dig into it now. But somebody else got something? Oh, you got something.
The thing that all these have in common is prayer, fasting, charitable gifts are all supposed to be acts of lowliness
that we show to God. And it is something that we're supposed to be doing towards God, even though we're doing it people around us, like charitable gifts. And in these examples he's given, it's being turned into something that, rather than me showing my lowliness to God, my real purpose is to show my highness to people around me, to where they think highly of me, where that's not even supposed to be part of the equation, what other people think about it. But we have to be careful, because what he's talking about is judging people's hearts, and Jesus was able to do that. And we really need to be careful sometimes. I'm just going to give an example. I remember as a kid, we went to Alabama, and it's very traditional in Alabama that the daddies and the families, they get out in the aisle and they kneel down in the aisle when somebody's leading a prayer. And I can remember as a kid thinking, what in the world? That's the biggest show-off thing ever. And it might be for some of them.
Could not, yeah.
But it might be very sincere for a lot of them. And I need to judge myself in those things and be critical. But I need to be careful to not judge somebody else without knowing for sure whether they're sincere or not. Jesus was able to do that, and he's telling us inwardly, you take care of yourself and make sure you're not like that. But you notice he doesn't tell me to be judging that everybody's doing that is insincere or whatever.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up. This class is definitely for self-examination. It's easy to point the finger to the Pharisees or scribes and these hypocrites and talk about them, but I really want us to be doing this self-examination, and you're right. You can look at somebody and think, I'm not sure if they're doing that to be a show or they're doing it to be sincere. I think you give people the benefit of the doubt and assume the best of others. Yeah, it's called loving them. And so it might be I don't like the way that person leads singing because it seems kind of showy, but I'm going to give them benefit of the doubt that they are sincere, and that's their personality showing through, right? We used to worship with a guy who did the same thing in Arkansas. He would kneel down, and, you know, I felt like he was sincere in that. He wanted to really humble himself before the Lord. You know, we would bow, but he would kneel because I knew him personally, and I knew it wasn't a show. He wasn't trying to be different and stand out. He was being sincere, so we do have to be careful about that.
Very common in the 50s.
Oh, yeah?
It wasn't, and I never doubted anybody. That was just very common. Mm-hmm. I saw it a lot in the Golden Triangle area at all the churches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just because somebody's doing something different doesn't mean they're doing it for show. So we got to be careful about that. And so, so what are ways that you've caught yourself doing things in a showy way, or what are things that we could fall into that might turn into being seen of men rather than honoring of God? I want self-examination. Here's some subtle. Oh, go ahead.
I'm afraid sometimes if somebody's not doing it the way I do it, then I can get pretty judgmental on that, and so or the way I like it, you know, my preference. And so a lot of times the way I try and deal with that is, well, why don't you just worry about yourself? And so if somebody's not leading singing the way I think they ought to be leading singing, I'm going to look at the screen, I'm going to look at my book, I'm going to look at other people. If those sorts of things happen, so you know, that's not the question you ask, but for me, that judgmental heart sometimes comes out. And so I'm just like, I don't know if they're sincere or not, so I'm just going to focus on my worship to God instead of looking at them, I guess.
When I taught the class we had on leading singing, I tried to make that point that 5% of what I was talking about is scripture and a 95% is opinion. So everybody has their opinion on how things should be done, and we got to recognize, you know, that Davish may do it differently. There's a particular song leader that people love that I don't like his leading style. It's distracting to me, but everybody loves him, so I think it's probably me. I'm probably the one that just doesn't like it, and I know the guy, and I know he's sincere, but if you didn't know the guy, you would think he's just showing off and being extreme, but knowing the guy, I know he's sincere. That's not the issue, so you got to be careful to not judge people on that, but I got to make a look at myself and say, why am I doing it this way? Is it because I want to be noticed, or am I doing it because I think this is the best way to help people worship? This is the best way to serve the Lord. It's the best way to encourage people. These are questions we need to ask ourselves. Self-examination. Why am I doing it this way? Here's some things that you may not think about, subtle ways that we might promote ourselves. I've been guilty of it. We're discussing people who are having some issues. Well, I called Sister So-and-so yesterday, and she said, and she needs this, 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 and this. Well, I could have just said, Sister So-and-so needs help with this. Why did I have to throw in there that I called her the other day? Or why did I have to say, well, I went and visited this person in the hospital, and I found out, well, why is that important to the story I'm telling? It may be innocent. I think most of us do it innocently, but we got to be careful. We're not slipping that in so people know, oh, so he does call people. Oh, he visits the sick. Oh, I gave this person money, and guess what they did with it? Well, you know, maybe that's okay. I'm not judging you. What I'm trying to do is judge myself. Why did I put that into the story? You may be doing it for innocent reasons. Again, not judging you. I'm judging me. Why do I get information that way? That's just something I thought of. That I've done before. I'm like, well, the other day I was doing this, and kind of in the back of my mind, I wanted them to know that, you know, that I did this good deed. I didn't say it, and I didn't brag about it, but I just kind of threw it out there so they would notice, you know. I was studying with this guy the other day. You know, just dumb stuff like that, you know. To be seen of men. Is that why I did it? Maybe. Anything else you want to add to that? There's other commonalities there.
So Sorry, I've probably used my allotted comments, so this is the last one. But introspectively, you know, I think genuinely I do things and I don't care whether I get credit or not, whether people know it or not, until somebody else starts bragging about what they're doing, and what they're doing is not nearly as much as what I'm doing. And it's like, well, how come they're getting credit and I'm not getting credit? So I think that's probably the bigger struggle for me is like,
yeah,
well, they are getting praise from men and they're hardly doing anything. Yeah. Like, what's going on? Yeah. And so that comparison, I guess, is where I struggle.
Yeah, there's... You're getting credit, just not from...
It may not be from men, but it's yeah. God.
Yeah, there's another commonality. Yeah, that's like, you know, if I fix something back there and Josh gets credit for it, do I want everybody to know I fixed it? I've gotten over that. I don't care. I don't want to get blame or credit because you get equal amounts of each. But, you know, you could fall into that. That is like what you're saying. Like, I want to make sure everybody knows I did that, not him. You know. I learned job security by setting things up that way. I do that at work. All right, what is something else that's common between them? They have their reward. And it is a reward. Feels good, doesn't it? Who don't like to be told, good job? Who doesn't like to hear that? You know, kind of stroke your ego a little bit, you know. Everybody likes that good feeling. And I believe that's a good feeling. I think God gave us that. That's what motivates us, especially as men. You know, this feeling of accomplishment, this feeling of I've done something. Yeah, yeah. You encourage one another. That's a big part of what we're here for. You know, having a good feeling about something you did is not necessarily wrong. Taking pride in your work in the sense that, you know, I feel like I did my best and God is pleased with this and I've done the Lord's work. There's a sense of satisfaction in that, but man, it's a fine line between that and the reward that I want to get from others. There's a reward in that, but it's, you know, is that really the reward we want? They have their reward.
God knows.
Yeah.
God knows, and that's the main thing. I keep going back to that. They have their reward. Well, if you're doing it right, we have our reward as well.
Yeah. And again, that's a common thing here is that their father who sees in secret will himself reward you. Each time he says that same phrase. Whose approval do we really want? You know, is it important that Jerry Johnson thinks that I'm serving the Lord well, or is it more important to me that the Lord knows where my heart is and what I'm trying to do? And, you know, I could be trying to serve the Lord and fail miserably, and you might judge me as a poor servant of the Lord, but God knows that I'm trying, and I may have failed at what I was attempting to do, but he knows that I was trying to do his will. And so he's a more fair judge than anybody else is going to be. They all they can see is what's going on the outside, and I'd rather the Lord judge me. I mean, that could be scary too. God really sees through the mask. Yeah, he sees if I'm play-acting. So that can be a scary thing, but if I'm honestly and sincerely serving him, it's a comfort to know the Father who sees you in secret, the Father he sees you, and he knows what you're doing. And he's going to reward you, and that's a blessing. What a blessing that is. And like you said, if you can just remind yourself of that, like, all I really care is if the Lord is pleased with what I do. And I'm not getting in the way of others doing his will.
Thank you, Judge. We see that all of this that we deal with here on earth, when we get the praise of men, number one, it's temporary, mm-hmm. and it's never enough.
Mm-hmm.
But later in Scripture, we're told that the one time we need to hear that praise is when we hear the one statement, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in. We're not told after that statement, get ready to keep hearing it. You know, so we need to strive to hear it that one time. Monty just leaned up and asked me, he said, well, if people can't see what we're doing, how are we supposed to influence them? My response to him was, they'll know you by your fruits. But they have to see, I mean, if we don't have song leaders, good, bad, or indifferent, nobody sees an example of what we're supposed to be trying to do. And we've all sat in a church where the person behind us cannot hold a tune in a dump truck, but they're singing with all their heart. And I've told my kids in that situation, they're like, oh, especially Case. You know, Case has perfect pitch, and it drives him nuts. But I'm like, you need to understand something. God likes terrible smells. Think about all the burnt offerings that he's gotten over the years, especially in Old Testament times when he wanted that. And that person is giving God what he wants, all they can do. And that's what we're asked to do, good, bad, or indifferent. And I've told myself over all these years, when I work sound, there are just as many people that like it as there are that don't. And for everybody that tells you good job, there's one that's going to say, oh, that was terrible. You know, I couldn't hear, or it was too loud. You know, we've got to keep that in mind, that the affirmation of men is also, it's offset because there are plenty that disagree. So our process needs to be to please the Lord. You know, all of these statements in Matthew 6 are cause and effect. If you do this, if you want this, this is what you're going to get. And, you know, it's every one of these statements is it can be seen and you're getting what you're wanting.
Yeah.
Or it can be done in secret and I'm going to give you what you really need. So.
All very good points. That's why when the deacons were volunteering to do the temperature control in here, I was like, I ain't touching that. I don't want my wife yelling at me and every other wife yelling at me.
Yes, I got my old microphone so I can comment. I don't know. Some of this is a blurry lines because we are human beings and we do need encouragement and somebody telling us we did something good. I'm sitting there thinking about how do you delineate between the right kind and the wrong kind, but you just can't say there's no kind.
Yeah, right.
Because we have to have that. Otherwise, my brethren are discouraging me. And, you know, it's like I might as well quit and just give up doing anything. And I'll use the example of preaching. Not for me, but for your preachers here, okay? They've got to hear something that they did something worthwhile, you know, in their lesson or whatever. You don't have to compare them and tell them you're the second coming of D. Bowman or something like that and compare them to somebody.
Right.
But they've got to at least know the work they put in helped somebody get closer to heaven or God or whatever or understand more and you know, there are people and places that have swung so far that they will not give a compliment, period. They're afraid of lifting it up. I remember Bobby Thompson, that guy at Baytown, deacon, told him, said, my job is to keep you down. Literally told him that. It's like, dude, there's plenty of people here to do that. You don't need to worry about that. But, you know, I don't know how to explain it all, but you can't just worry about pumping somebody's head up so you never say or give credit or good job or anything because people quit when they don't have any of that.
Yeah, I don't think it's like, why
would I do it? If it's not worthwhile and I don't know that, why would I, you know, what am I wasting my time for?
Yeah, and that is I think it's our job to encourage them and it is their job to take that encouragement and do what they will with it. I am not responsible. If I say, hey, you're a great Bible class teacher, now they're responsible for how they feel about that. But I do need to encourage them and tell them what I like about it. I think that's a very important to encourage them. And I'm not talking here either about beating yourself down. I'm worthless, low self-esteem. You can feel good about what you do. You can feel like I'm successfully doing the work of the Lord. That's a right feeling to have. You ought to have that feeling, but just be careful that you don't go beyond that. And that's, you're going for the good feeling. That's not what we're going for. We're going for serving the Lord, and that produces that good feeling, is the right way of going about that. So thank you. Well, something you said made me think of a question I had. So does that mean it's wrong to do this stuff in public? Is it wrong for me to give money in public or pray in public or fast in public? I mean, should I never do it in public? He says, go in your room and pray. Can I not pray in public?
I mean, people are going to see what we do. I mean, people who preach, lead singing, teach Bible class, people see that. But it goes back to what you were saying, that we don't need to do that to be seen. That doesn't need to be our motivation. People are going to see our good works. I mean, because he talks about people seeing our good works.
Right.
But we need to be careful that that's not the motivation for doing those things. That's how people are, that's how we're good examples, is by doing things, living correctly. People are going to see that. That's how we're examples and influences on others. But that's not the reason we do that. We don't do that to be seen of men. You know, the accolades and the recognition of people, I don't know, it's just become so apparent to me in the last 5 to 10 years is so short-lived. I mean, people that, you know, my age, looked up to and revered in the church or in the community, my kids don't know who they are, you know? And regardless of how much good they did or how well-known they were or how influential they were, whether it's in the community or the church, I mean, a lot of people don't know who they are after several years. I mean, so the recognition of men is so short-lived and temporary. I think that's part of the point that he's making here, is that, you know, if you do these things to get that, well, that's what you get, you know, and it's not going to last very long. It's important that we, even though that we may get recognition, we may be noticed, that can't be the reason why we do those things.
So I must say something that's going to sound contradictory, but it's not. Do not do these acts of service to be seen of men, but do these acts of service to be seen of men. Okay, you can do it to be seen of men, and it's right. We're salt and light so that people can see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven, but I can do it to be seen of men, and it'd be wrong. And so we've got to examine, why are we doing this? So, you know, if we're in a restaurant and, you know, we could all say our silent prayer, there's no reason we have to pray all out loud together, but we do that because we want people to see us, not so that people say, wow, look how spiritual they are, but we're setting an example. We're reminding people of what's important. Maybe they'll stop and think, you know what, I need to give thanks to the Father. There might be reasons to do that in front of people, to be seen of people, but not in the way that Jesus is talking about, where we're blowing a trumpet. Hey, everybody in the restaurant, y'all be quiet, we're about to pray. You know, it's not to be seen of men in that way, but we do want to be seen by men. I mean, we're not having any influence if we do everything in secret. Nobody's going to know anything, that any good works that are happening. So somebody's got to know. I mean, your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing, but your left hand knows, and somebody's receiving that gift, right? So I don't know. That's,
if you're praying in the restaurant but not praying for all your other meals,
well, you're right. You know, exactly. Right.
Like, is this just what you do? I pray before I eat,
right?
Or is it, oh, we're in a restaurant, let's pray, everybody
right.
See it.
or I'm with my brethren, so they're expecting me to pray. So we'll stop and pray, although I don't normally do it because I don't want them to think something about me, you know. Go ahead.
So that you can be seen of men, but don't be seen of men. But maybe it's the next step is don't do it so that you're seen of men so that you get the glory, but don't do it so that you're seen of, do it so you're seen by men so God gets the glory of it. So whatever you're doing, you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it so the ultimate is that God gets the glory for it.
Yes, exactly. I like it. And that's the difference between Matthew 5 and Matthew 6. Matthew 5 says to do it so people glorify your Father. He's saying don't do that because you're trying to receive the praises of men. That's what these people were looking for. So that's good. All right, we have right.
It's the motivation behind it.
Do we know any examples of people who prayed in public in Scripture? Or prayed in front of other people? Can you think of any? Who's that? Oh, Jesus, yeah. Yeah, that's a good example. He could have prayed silently, but he prayed out loud. Oh, we read about
that. It was a prayer in Matthew 6, it was out loud so that other people could hear.
Yeah.
Because he was teaching them how to pray.
Yeah, that's true. Paul and Silas, I presume they were praying out loud. They were singing and praying, and the other prisoners heard them. So, I mean, it could have been they heard him singing, but I assume that they also heard them pray. Acts 4, the church was gathered together and they were all praying together. That's a public gathering where they were praying together. I assume there was one person leading the prayer and he wrote down the words, but it presents it as the whole church was praying and he gave the words that they prayed together. So nothing wrong with Daniel. Yeah. Who? What's that?
Stephen.
He called out to the Lord in front of everybody. So, you know, it's not doing it in public's not the problem. And it's not a problem if, you know, you're putting your money in the basket at church and everybody sees you putting your money in the basket. That's not a problem. And if I'm taking a collection, I prefer to be discreet about it. I prefer to, you know, just walk up to Jesse and hand him something and not make a big deal about it. And I think that's probably the right attitude, but there's nothing wrong with people knowing that I'm donating to a cause. But, like, because we're so worried about being like this, we try to be careful about that, right? We don't want to brag or blow our own trumpet, and we want other people to do that. So I think that's a good habit to have. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with doing acts of charity or praying or even fasting and letting people know that. The few times that I have fasted, there I go, throwing it out there. The times that I have fasted, everybody knows I fasted now. You know, it's awkward because You know, people invite you out to eat, you know, and you're like, well, I'm not eating right now. It's like, I don't want to tell them why I can't go eat with them. And that's probably because I know that would feed into my pride that I'm fasting or whatever. But it's okay for people to know that you're fasting. But what he's saying is you're not making a big deal about it. You're not drawing attention to that. You're not going up and making yourself look pitiful, in a pitiful state, so people ask, oh, man, he must be really fasting. You know, you just get up, you get dressed, you act like it's a normal day. And if it comes up in conversation, fine. Or if you need to tell somebody you're fasting, that's fine. But you're not being a hypocrite. You're not putting on a show. You're not drawing attention to the fact that you're fasting. You just you live your life like you do, and you don't worry about trying to promote that. Again, there might be a good way for people to know you're fasting. That might be an encouragement to them. That might teach them something they've never done before. That might be a way for them to glorify God and seeing you're doing some good work. So it's not about people not seeing your good works. It's about why are you doing it, right? And what is whose attention and approval am I seeking? That's the important part of this. I'm doing too much talking. Yeah, y'all have been doing great. Conversation. I appreciate all the help. All right. We've talked about a lot of this. Okay, he talks about repetition in prayer. So we've kind of skipped over this prayer section that's a little longer, but he talks about repetition in prayer. Is it wrong to repeat things in your prayers? Is that what Jesus is saying? Never say the same thing twice. Is he condemning repetition? What is he condemning? Vain repetition. There you go. Just speaking for the sake of speaking, right? So you're not really thinking about what you're saying. You're not really meaning what you're saying, but you think with lots of words, I'm going to impress the Lord, and he'll hear my prayer because I'm saying a lot of things over and over and over and over. I can spit out the Lord's prayer really quickly. You know, if I'm worried about something or I'm scared, I'll just say it really fast several times, and it's like a magic charm or a magic spell that I can just say, and God's going to bless me or protect me. No. That's not true prayer. It's not these vain repetitions. He says that the Lord already knows what you need before you even pray. So why do we pray? Why should we pray?
To demonstrate our reliance on him.
Okay. Good reason. We depended on him. We walk humbly with our God.
Asking and trusting.
Yeah, I mean, when you recognize that he is your Father and you depend on him for everything, it's natural to go to him and ask for these things. Why wouldn't you be praying? You know, my kids know that, you know, they need to eat, but I know that. They know I know that. But if they're hungry, they tell me that. So I know you're hungry, but they still ask me for this stuff. Let me go back to the scripture. It says, verse 7, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, just like Justin said, he is our Father, and he's the one that we're directing our attention to. We are addressing our Father. We're not just repeating vain words. We're not. Seems kind of odd to us because that's not our culture and our church to pray that way. But you know, there are people who say random phrases and over and speak in these so-called tongues, and they think saying that over and over is some special prayer that gets heard in a special way by God. So it is something that happens in our society, but we don't really in our church deal with it in this way. But is it possible that we can pray without really addressing the Father? Very easy to do that when you're standing up here because you're so nervous. All you can think about is that my voice bouncing around the walls, and you know, what am I going to say next? So I've got this pre-planned thing that I'm going to read or say, and you know, the Lord knows. The Lord's been there. I think he's patient and forgiving, but I still think even when we're leading prayers, we need to remember we are addressing our Father, and that's, to me, the scariest part of leading a prayer is that, man, I'm standing before the throne of God on behalf of all these people, and I'm leading their thoughts to his throne, and I want to say a prayer that they can all say amen to. And praying in front for the congregation is extremely stressful for that reason, not that I'm standing in front of people. To me, that's a huge responsibility. I guess everything we do up here is a huge responsibility. Leading singing, it's like, well, I'm responsible for helping this congregation worship to the best of its ability, or if I'm teaching, that's a big responsibility. But prayer for something, for some reason, that just terrifies me to think about what I'm doing. And so anyways, I might get rabbit trail there, but remember, we're addressing our Father, and I'm not preaching to the congregation. I'm not trying to come up with the most eloquent way to say things so that people say, wow, that's a good prayer. And I'm not praying for 15 minutes to impress people with how long I can pray, whatever you might do to cause people to think well of you. That's not why we're praying. We're not using many words. His prayer has short sentences. It's a short prayer. It's short and to the point. Doesn't mean that you can only say a prayer with six sentences in it, but the idea is that we're addressing our Father, and we're focusing on things that are important to him and to us. And that's the type of prayer we ought to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're recognizing him for who he is. Your kingdom come. We're interested in his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. We're expressing our dependence on him. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. We're recognizing our indebtedness to him and how we need forgiveness before we can even be before him. And then asking for his guidance and leading us through life that we don't fall into temptation and that the evil one won't overcome us. These are the types of prayers that we're praying. He says to do this in secret. Obviously he's addressing a problem here with people blowing trumpets and wanting everybody to see them pray. The answer to that is to go into secret. If that's what you're really about, you need to go in secret and pray the right way. We've already said it's nothing wrong with praying in public, but we also need this private time of prayer to commune with God and pour out our hearts before him and cast our anxieties upon him because he cares for us. These are things we're encouraged to do. I'm doing too much talking again. Any thoughts about that? All right, so, yes.
One thing that us as fathers and grandfathers run into is modeling in front of our children what we want them to carry with them for the rest of their life. And so I'm guilty of every morning, and I've told my kids this, it's like I read my Bible every morning in the same place, and I leave my Bible there when I go to work because I want them to see it, and I want them to see me doing it because I want them to know how important it is to me, and I want them to always remember it and to emulate it. And so that is that's something as a father and as these young men become that, I think that is, it's a training tool. Just kind of a different way of looking at it. And the same with the prayer as well. As I try to teach them to pray, I pray in a way that that my heart is just pouring out, and because I want them to do the same. Not that I'm not talking to God or I'm not studying in a very sincere way every morning, but I have an ulterior motive.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, a great example of doing it to be seen of others in a good and righteous way, that you want your kids to see these good works so they can learn how they ought to live. You're teaching by example. Man, we're out of time. We got so much to cover, but this passage is not just there out of context. This is in this sermon where he talks about being salt and light, and he says in chapter 5, verse 10, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you interested in entering the kingdom of heaven? And your righteousness needs to exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. And then he talks about all these laws and things that they've invented, and then he follows that with this section about sincere service to God in devotion to God, not to be seen by the praises of men. This is in a context of trying to encourage them. We look at the Pharisees and like, man, those guys are the righteous. Those guys are the greatness. Scribes, man, they know their Bible. Their guys are up here. And he's like, you need to be better than them. And he's telling us how to do that. How can we be better than the Pharisees and the scribes? That's impossible. And he's telling us how we can do that. We keep our word. We don't lust after women. We don't retaliate. We don't hate people. And we don't do things for show. This is him telling us how to have righteousness better than even the scribes and the Pharisees. He wants true service to God, not just this fake phoniness that they are doing. So that's our encouragement, is to you know, we're trying to excel spiritually. And so hopefully it's a good reminder. I really appreciate it. I was hoping there'd be a lot of discussion, and I'm so glad there was. So I appreciate that. I'm going to ask Justin, will you say a prayer for us as we close?